Well, good evening. How are you tonight?
大家晚上好。
Good. All right. I'll take that. That's good. good. It's good to be with you as always. It's a beautiful day out. The football season has started, and I'm excited about the football. If you recall, in the last couple of years, I'm a Steelers fan.
我们真的很高兴，非常美好的一天，外面天气很好。而且我们看到美式橄榄球的这个季节已经开始了。如果大家记得的话，在过去几年的话，我是 Steelers 的这个粉丝。
Unfortunately, they lost every game in the preseason and their game today.
而且在季前赛当中，他们其实输了很多的比赛。今天晚上是他们的第一场比赛，正式的比赛。
So there may be occasions when I come into our time together sad. And,
所以有可能在下一次可能我见到大家的时候，你可能看到可能我情绪会不太好。
So anyway, I just want to throw that out there for you.
这个大家分享一下。
All right, so we have been in a sermon series when I've come to share with you where I'm addressing some of those controversial and challenging statements that Jesus made during his ministry.
我在前一段时间我跟大家开始了一个系列的一个正道，在这个正道当中我跟大家分享了主耶稣他在他宣教在他侍奉的过程当中他所说的一些有争议的话。
And we really have some ground to cover tonight. This is going to be a pretty in-depth look at John chapter 8 verses 1 through 12. So I want to encourage you to either flip over your bulletin or turn to your scripture tonight if you would.
那今天晚上我们要分享的内容其实挺多的。我们也会很深刻的了解一下在约翰福音的第八章的一到十一节。所以在这个地方我鼓励大家能够打开你的圣经或者看看周报后面印出的经文。
All right, so let me read to you John chapter 8, and then after that we'll pause to pray, and then we'll jump into tonight's message.
好，那我们先来读一下约翰福音的第八章。
So it actually starts in John 7, verse 53. It says, Then they all went home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And at dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them.
于是个人都回家去了，耶稣却往橄榄山去，清早又回到殿里，众百姓都到他那里去，他就坐下教训他们。
The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman who had been caught in adultery, and they made her stand before the group, and they said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery.
文士和法利赛人带着一个行淫时被拿的妇人来，叫她站在当中，就对耶稣说，夫子，这妇人是正行淫之时被拿的。
In the law, verse 5, is that they continue to talk, and they say, In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say? And they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing Jesus.
摩西在律法上吩咐我们把这样的妇人用石头打死。你说该把他怎么样呢？他们说这话乃试探耶稣，要得着告他的把柄。
But Jesus bent down after they tried to accuse him, and he started to write on the ground with his finger. And when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and he said to them, Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her.
耶稣却弯着腰，用指头在地上画字。他们还是不住地问他，耶稣就直起腰来，对他们说，你们中间谁是没有罪的，谁就可以先拿石头打他。
And then again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And at this, those who had heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until Jesus was the only one left with the woman still standing there.
于是又弯着腰用指头在地上画字。他们听见这话就从老到少一个一个的都出去了。只剩下耶稣一人还有那妇人仍然站在当中。
Verse 10, Jesus straightened up and he asked her, Woman, where are they? Has no one stayed to condemn you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin.
耶稣就直起腰来对他说，妇人，那些人在哪里呢？没有人定你的罪吗？他说，主啊，没有。耶稣说，我也不定你的罪，去吧，从此不要再犯罪了。
Let's pray tonight.
让我们一起来祷告。
God, we come before you and we pray that the truth of your word would speak into our lives tonight.
主，我们来到你的面前，愿你话语，真理的话语能够亲自的对我们的心来说话。
And God, I pray tonight that as we dig into this passage, that there would be some movement in our spirits in how we can better understand you and how we can better understand who we are in your eyes.
主，当我们来读这段话语的时候，愿你能够触动我们的心，能够让我们能够更加真真实实的来明白你，了解你的话语。
And so, Lord, tonight I pray that you would touch our ears and so that we would be able to hear. I pray that you would touch our hearts and our minds tonight so that we would be able to receive your word.
主，我们求你来触摸我们的耳朵，可以让我们听得见，也求你来触摸我们的心，我们的头脑，好让我们能够来明白主你的旨意。
And Lord, I pray that you would anoint my lips as I speak and that the words from my mouth, Lord, would penetrate our hearts tonight.
主，我也求你膏我的口，膏我的嘴唇，好让我嘴里所出的话语能够打动人的心。
And we pray these things in your name, amen.
我们奉主的名祷告， amen.
All right, so seldom is throwing stones a good idea. Physically speaking, people really can get hurt, right? Windows can get broken out, and there's just not a whole lot of good that comes out when we start throwing stones.
我们知道，通常来讲，丢石头不是件好的事情，不但人可能会受伤，而且玻璃可能会、窗户可能会打坏。
And morally speaking, it's not good physically, but morally speaking, it's not a good idea to start throwing stones either.
不但从这个物理的层面来讲是不好的，从道德层面来说，丢石头也是不好的一件事情。
Moral stone throwers are those people who see that something is wrong and feel empowered to go on the attack against it.
那从道德层面来说，那些扔道德的石头的人，他们看到一些不对的事情，就认为自己有责任要去攻击他。
And when you're a moral stone thrower, you tend to think of yourself as a defender of what's right, and we tend to want to go into battle to make that wrong right.
那些在道德层面喜欢丢石头的人，他们把自己看作是真理的捍卫者，好像打算随时的进行战斗。
And so here in this passage, as we look through these verses, we have to get a visual of what's really going on in the full body, in the full text of this passage.
所以当我们今天我们在分享这段话语的时候，我们要来看一看当时的这个情形是如何的样子。
And so if we take a look for a moment from the woman's standpoint, I mean, here's the deal. She's guilty. The doors had burst open during this act of an adulterous affair.
我们看到从这个妇人的角度来说，我们知道她是好像有罪的。他在行奸淫的时候被抓。
I mean, there is gossip, there are murmurs, and there are all kinds of things that were probably being quickly said about her in and around the community that she was a part of.
所以可以想象的是，这样当他被抓以后，在那个他所在的社区当中，肯定有很多关于他的流言碎语。
Now, from the Pharisees' standpoint, because remember, they were the ones that brought her to Jesus, from the Pharisees' standpoint,This woman had been caught in the act of sin, and something needed to be done about it.
我们知道是法利赛人把这个妇人带到耶稣的面前，所以从法利赛人的角度来看，这个妇人是在行淫之时被抓的，所以他们认为必须要有所行动。
Then we look to Jesus, and we look at the situation from Jesus' standpoint, and here's the deal. The woman in this story isn't the only one that's guilty, and he's placed in this position to address not only the sin of the woman, which the Pharisees wanted, but he knows that he also has to address the sins of the would-be stone throwers.
那从耶稣的角度来说，我想耶稣他知道，清楚的知道，这个妇人不是唯一有罪的。他在当时那个情况下，他不但要我对付行淫妇人的罪，他同样要对付那些准备要扔石头的人的罪。
And verse 7 that we've read here tonight is really the confrontational and the controversial statement for us. If anyone is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her.
所以我们今天读到的经文的第七节也是一个非常具有争议性和挑战性的一句话。他这样说到，你们中间谁是没有罪的，谁就可以先拿石头打他。
And so tonight I want us to take a look at this passage and I want us to unwrap it a little bit to see what it really says to us.
今天晚上我们分享这段话的时候，我们要来一起来分解这段经文，来看看这段经文想告诉我们什么样的道理。
First of all, I think there are three primary situations that we need to look at tonight. The first one is this. There is a trap that has been set for the woman in this story.
好了，我想这段经文有其中有三个的情况，我们要来好好的仔细的来看一看。其中第一个就是我们知道这个妇人有一个为这个妇人所设的陷阱。
And if we look at the story here, and we look at why this trap has been set, there seems to be something. If we really read it, there seems to be something just a little suspicious that is taking place here in this story.
我们说这是有一个为这个妇人所设的一个陷阱。我们这么说，因为我们看到的时候会发现有些很奇怪的现象在这个故事当中。
Verse 2, right off the bat, it says, at dawn.
那第一个这样的很奇怪的现象就在第二节，他这里提到说清早。
And if you think about it, at dawn is kind of a strange time to catch somebody in the act.
如果我们大家只能看到这的话，我们都可以知道清早其实是一个很奇怪的时间，不是一个好像能够大家可以想到可以抓住行淫之人的时间。
I mean, the common story, the things like this, when they tend to take place, they tend to take place perhaps after a long day at the office. Perhaps you meet somebody or have a few drinks and then you want to invite them to come back to your place.
我们知道也许行淫之事很多时候都发生在晚上，也许是工作很辛苦的时候，也许喝了几杯酒以后，这样的事情在这样的时间发生这样的事情。
There's a lot of conversation that tends to take place in situations like this, or maybe things like this tend to happen in moments of loneliness in the evening or the later hours of the night, and a phone call is made and a knock at the door takes place.
我知道在行淫的事情往往是发生在可能在很孤单的时候，也可能是发生在很夜深的时候，也许是你打了个电话或者有人敲门的时候。
But this story says at dawn,She was caught in the act. At dawn means that the sun was coming up, and there is a new day that is about to begin.
但是在这个故事当中，我们发现这妇人在行淫被抓的时候，却在清早，也就是太阳要出来的时候，新的一天要开始的时候。
It just kind of leaves us to suspect something.Happening that shouldn't be happening in the story.
所以这样的一个细节告诉我们，让我们可以怀疑啊，这样的事情发生真是非常奇怪的一个现象。
Another suspicious thing here in this story is that there is no man who is mentioned.
另外一个奇怪的现象是在这个故事当中没有提到行淫的被抓的另外的那个男人的名字。
And so, if we looked at the Jewish law tonight, we would discover that it takes two.To be caught in the act of adultery, and he would be under the same judgment if he had been caught in this act of sin.
我们知道在行淫的时候，我们不但有行淫的妇人，还会有个行淫的男人。那根据犹太人的律法，行淫的男人也会要受到同样的审判。
And we have to pause and we have to just ask the question about the story and to question this. Is it possible that a plot was taking place and maybe...The man in this story, although not mentioned, was a part of the plot.
所以我们读到这个地方，我们可能不禁要问：这是不是一个事先设置好的陷阱？而这个行淫的男人是不是也是在这个阴谋当中
？Maybe he was in on the whole story, trying to set her up.
也许他也在这个阴谋的背后。
So verse 4 leads us to another suspicious piece of this passage.
那第四节是给我们看到关于这个故事都很可疑的另外一个现象。
So the idea of catching someone in the act would have to imply that someone, maybe it was the Pharisees, maybe it was a hired spy, was there in the room or in the house or was looking through the window waiting for just the right moment to catch her.
我们看到第四节这里说到这个妇人在行淫之时被拿的。我们知道如果要在行淫之时把这个妇人拿住，也就表示说可能这个法利赛人或者是他们有雇的人正在那个时候也正在房屋当中，或者是他们通过窗子在往里面偷偷的看。
And then for another suspicious thing, then we'll move on. In verses 5 and 6, if it was so clear in the Mosaic law that this woman must be stoned to death,
then...另外一个让我们觉得很奇怪的是，就是根据第五节和第六节，我们知道摩西的律法讲得非常的清楚，对行淫的妇人要用石头打死。
Then what was the big deal for the Pharisees to the Pharisees about bringing her to Jesus and asking him to speak into the law of Moses. What if this was the law, then why did they make such a big deal about it to bring her to Jesus?
如果这个在摩西的律法中说得如此的清楚的话，那这些法利赛人他们为什么要把这个行淫时被抓的妇人带到耶稣的面前呢？
And so let's not forget the Pharisees are the teachers of the law. And so they knew the law.
我们切不要忘记法利赛人他们是教 律法的，他们对律法非常的熟悉。
And in reality, this was probably not the first time that someone had been caught in adultery and was brought out into the public square to be stoned.
而且我想在那个时候，这个吸引的妇人也不是第一个被抓的吸引的妇人，不是第一个被带到广场要又被石头打死的妇人。
But for some reason, at this moment in time, the Pharisees brought this woman to Jesus in order to get his input into the situation.
但是出于某种原因，在那个时候，法利赛人他们把这个行淫被抓的妇人带到了耶稣的面前，想要听听耶稣的看法。
So here's something for us to think about. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but we have to ponder this idea. At what moment did the woman realize that this story, this scheme, really wasn't about her?
所以在这个时候，我们可能要想一想。在什么样的一个情况下，这个妇人她终于意识到，所有发生的这一切并不是为了她的缘故。
I mean, she had to know that she was clearly being set up and trapped for this moment in time.
我想在这里说，她也许她已经明白，她是被人设计，陷入一个很明显的一个阴谋当中。
And I wonder when she realized, when the bell went on in her mind, I wonder when she realized that she was the bait.For really trapping Jesus.
我很好奇，我不知道他是不是意识到，他仅仅只是为了要抓住耶稣把柄的一个钓饵而已。
And so, if we read verses 5 and 6 again, we'll see that it tells us that the Pharisees were using this situation and their question as a trap in order to accuse Jesus.
所以我们从第五节和第六节，我们都可以看到，法利赛人就是要用这样的一件事情来试探耶稣，要来抓住控告耶稣的把柄。
So here's the second thing I think we should look at tonight out of this story.
好，那第二个我们要来分享的事情是
I mean, not only was it a trap for the woman, but clearly it was a trap for Jesus.
这不单是好像这个妇人陷害这妇人的一个陷阱，同样也是陷害耶稣的陷阱。
And so Jesus here was really in a dilemma. I mean, he knew that whatever he said in response to their question, that they are going to act upon it immediately.
我看到在当时耶稣他清楚地知道自己处于一种两难的境界当中，不论他说什么的话，这些法利赛人立刻会有所行动。
So these Pharisees brought this woman, they questioned Jesus, and the Pharisees had stones in their hand, they were ready to kill, and his dilemma really comes from a few different angles.
在那个时候法利赛人把这个行时被抓的妇人带到耶稣的面前，他们来询问耶稣，他们的手里也拉着石头，随时准备来投石头在这行淫的妇人身上。
And so as we look at this idea through Jesus' perspective, this is kind of crazy here, because first of all, Jesus had to deal with the law, with what the law of Moses said.
在当时那种情形中，我们知道，对耶稣来讲，不论从哪个角度来说，对他都是处于一种两难的境地。第一，他要能够来所说的要符合摩西的律法。
And the Pharisees in the story clarified it for Jesus. He didn't need to have it clarified, but it also tells us that whenever someone is caught in sin, they would be subject to the death by stoning.
在这个经文当中，我们看到法利赛人他们已经告诉了摩西说，不论是有谁犯了这样的罪，要用石头被打死。根据摩西的律法。
And so Jesus really couldn't go against.The law of Moses.
所以在那个时候，好像耶稣他没有办法能够来反对这样的一个律法。
Another angle that Jesus had to look into the situation was that he also had to deal with the law of Rome, and the Roman law said that no private or religious execution can take place without permission.
从另外一个角度来说，耶稣他要所说的话还要符合罗马的律法，因为根据罗马的律法，未经允许不可以自己私用刑法。
And a perfect example of this is in Jesus' own execution, and the people had to get permission in order to crucify him.
其中一个 很好的例子就是耶稣当他自己被钉十字架的时候，说那些指控他的人也需要得到允许才能够来让才能钉耶稣的十字架。
And then the third angle that Jesus had to look at this whole story with was out of his own life and his own purpose.
那第三点我们看到耶稣他所说的他所做的也要符合他自己的目的。
And so John chapter 3 verses 16 through 17 says Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but he came to save the world.
在约翰福音的第三章十六节有这样说到，十七节这样说到，因为神差他的儿子降世，不是要定世人的罪，乃是要叫世人因他得救。
And so as we look at this story from the perspective of Jesus, Jesus had to deal with the law of Moses, he had to deal with the law of Rome, and then he had to deal with why he came by on his own.
所以我们从这个故事当中，我们看到在当时的情况下，耶稣他所说的，既要能够满足摩西的律法，也要符合罗马的律法，同样也要符合他自己的目的。
And so what is Jesus supposed to do in this situation?
所以在那种情况下耶稣该怎么做呢？
If he supports the law of Moses and lets them stone her, he's going to be violating the Roman law and his own mission and purpose in life.
如果他支持摩西的律法的话，那他就违反了罗马的律法，而且同样他也违反了自己的目的。
And then if he says to the Pharisees, well, you know what, why don't you guys just let her go?What he would be doing in that situation was he would be supporting the Roman law, but violating the law of Moses.
如果他当时说放了这个妇人的话，那他是符合了罗马的律法，但是同时他也就违反了摩西的律法。
And so in verse 6, we find what Jesus did in the midst of all of this drama that was unfolding. And this, friends, right here is drama at its best.
所以我们看到在第六节的时候，我们看到耶稣是怎么做的。第六节看到耶稣在这个戏剧性的高潮的时候，他是如何做的。
I mean, here is a woman who was just caught in the act. She was shivering. She was fearing for her life. And at any moment, she could die.
在当时的情况下，我们看到这个妇人她已经被抓，她浑身的颤抖，她非常为她的生命感到担忧。
And the Pharisees were there standing with stones, ready to stone her with the intent to kill her. And then Jesus bends down and he's cool, calm, and collected.
在那个时候，法利赛人他们站在边上，他们手里拿着石头，随时准备要用石头来处死这个行淫的妇人。在那个情况下，我们看到耶稣他是沉稳冷静的，毫不慌张。
And you know, Jesus was really cool, calm, and collected throughout his ministry, wasn't he?
我们都知道耶稣在他所有的侍奉当中的时候，他总是能在各样的慌乱当中能够保持沉稳，保持冷静。
It wasn't the first time that we see Jesus in scripture as someone who was just relaxed and kind of chilled out when there was a moment of chaos and drama involved.
我想这不是第一次在经文当中我们看到耶稣，主耶稣他在患难当中，在混乱当中能够保持冷静沉稳。
Let me give you a couple of examples of that.
我可以给大家几个这样的例子。
So when the storm rose out on the lake, and the disciples were worried, they were concerned, and they feared for their life, and they went to find Jesus, and what was he doing?
当其中的一个例子就是在加利利湖的风暴当中的时候，他的门徒都非常的担忧，他们去找，为他们的生命感到担忧，他们去看耶稣，他们父子耶稣在干什么。
We find Jesus in that story sleeping. I mean, he was cool, calm, and collected during a storm. I mean, no worries or fears at all.
我们看到在那样的狂风暴雨当中的时候，耶稣他保持他的沉稳冷静，他在睡觉。
And in that story, when the time was right, he performed the necessary miracle.
在那个故事当中我们看到时间到了，耶稣他就行了一个奇迹。
Here's another example of when Jesus was just kind of cool, calm, and collected.
那另外一个故事也告诉我们同样的，耶稣在患难当中的时候他保持沉稳冷静。
If we were to read the story of Lazarus, we know that Lazarus was sick and Jesus, the scripture tells us he was in no hurry to get to see Lazarus.
那个故事是关于拿撒路的故事。我们看到当拿撒路他生病的时候，耶稣却没有好像很急忙匆忙的要去见到拿撒路。
Other people around Jesus' circle of influence and friends just kind of felt as though he should act immediately and do something for his friend.
我们看到在当时围在耶稣周围的人都认为耶稣必须马上要去见拿撒路去做些什么。
But he didn't. I mean, the story tells us that he waited 4 days before he went to Lazarus. And when he came to Lazarus, he discovered that Lazarus had died.
那我们看到在故事当中，耶稣他并没有那么的匆忙，他其实在故事里面显示他已经在等耽误了四天的时间。当他赶到拉撒路的边上的时候，他发现拉撒路已经死了。
And not only had he died, but he had been buried. And here in that story, again, when the timing was right, Jesus performed the necessary miracle.
而且不但拉撒路已经死了，而且他已经被埋葬了。但是就在那个故事当中，我们看到时间到了的时候，耶稣他又行了一个奇迹。
And now here, back in our story of the woman caught in adultery, amidst all of the drama and the energy of the moments that were ticking by for this woman, for the Pharisees, for the onlookers, Jesus is found writing in the dirt.
我们看到在这个故事当中，在这样一个不但是对这个妇人或对法利赛人或者旁观者来说都是非常紧张重要的一个时刻，我们看到耶稣他却在地上用手指头画着字。
And if you can put yourself for just a moment in place of this woman, it's perhaps in this moment when Jesus bends down and begins writing in the dirt that she felt in her heart of hearts that a miracle was beginning to take place.
啊，也许就在那个时刻，在这个妇人的心中，她可能感受到一个奇迹就要发生。
Can I ask you a question tonight?
能不能让我来问大家一个问题？今天晚上
，Has there ever been a moment in your life when there was chaos, confusion, and a whole lot of drama, and you just had to wait for Jesus to step in and perform a miracle?
在你的生命当中，你是不是有过混乱、困惑或者充满了戏剧性的时候？在那个时候，你是不是应该等待主耶稣他的介入来行他的奇迹？
Even in the midst of the Pharisees trying to trap Jesus, he was still thinking about the woman and her situation.
在当时那个情况下，我们看到法利赛人他们想要抓到拿住耶稣的把柄，即使在当时那种情形下，主耶稣他心中所想的还是这个妇人他的状况。
And my encouragement here, just as a little side note,would be this, don't give up or give in when life gets a little tough.
我给大家的鼓励和建议是，即使你在你的生活当中遇到了各样的困难、患难，也不要气馁。
Christ wants to do a miracle in your life, and he will only do that at the right time.
主耶稣基督，他愿意在你的生命当中行奇迹，而且在正确的时间行奇迹。
Let me read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You don't need to turn there.But it's verses 16 through 18. This is what it says.
好，我们来读一下《哥林多后书》的第四章16到18节。
Therefore, do not lose heart.
所以我们不要散胆。
Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day.
外体虽然毁坏，内心却一天新似一天。
For our light.And momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all.
我们这自战自轻的苦楚，要为我们成就那极重无比永远的荣耀。
And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
原来我们不是顾念所见的，乃是顾念所不见的。因为所见的是暂时的，所不见的是永远的。
Don't lose heart.
不要气馁，不要放弃。
The woman in this situation was beginning to not lose heart in her spirit for life.
我们知道在那个时候，这个妇人她的心中没有放弃。
Now the third thing tonight I think we should take a look at is this.
第三个我们今天晚上要来分享的是。
Not only was there a trap for the woman, not only was there a trap for Jesus, but maybe within the context of this scripture, there are some traps for you and I that we need to make sure we avoid.
我们看到这样的陷阱，不但是为了这个妇人的陷阱，不但是为了耶稣的陷阱，同样也可能是为我们的陷阱，也是我们应该要避免的陷阱。
The first trap that you and I need to avoid is the trap of diminishing divinity.
那我想我们第一个要避免的陷阱就是我们要避免来减弱来缩小神的神性。
And what this means, I'm going to explain this. This is where it gets a little bit deeper for us here. But what this means is that we diminish God down to the person that we are comfortable with.
好，那我给大家来解释一下这个表什么样的意思。因为很多的时候我们可能会把神给他缩小，给他减弱，给他降低，把他缩小到我们习惯的这个地步。
We don't do it all the time, but there are moments when we do exactly that to God, and when we do that, we are really making him smaller than he truly is.
也许我们并不是经常这样做，但是有时候在我们生活当中，生命当中，我们有这样去做。我们这样做的时候，我们就把主耶稣，把基督缩小到一个他比他应该要小的一个地步。
There are parts of who God is that we connect with, and there are parts of who God is that are mysterious to us, and so often we only view God in a way that we understand and in a way that we're comfortable with.
我想神也许他有几个方面，有些方面我们是熟悉的，我们明白的，有些方面我们是不理解的，很多时候我们把神缩减成为只有我们熟悉的那个方面。
Let me give you some examples tonight of how we diminish God's divinity.
好，我可以给大家一些这样的例子，来看看我们有些时候是怎么样把神给减低的。
Let's take this. Let's take the creative God versus the orderly God.
好，那我们看第一个例子，就是我们知道神他们是有创造力的神，我们也看到神是一个讲究次序的神。
So some of us here tonight are very creative, and we connect with God from a more visual perspective, and we love the beauty of all that He has created.
好，那我们看到，我们知道我们在当中的弟兄姐妹，我们有些人可能是非常的有创造力的。我们和神的连接好像是从视觉的层面开始，我们很欣赏神所创造的一切。
And it's this experience of art and the feeling and the emotion in how we connect with God best.
我们有些时候我们会是从艺术的经历或者从情感的层面来和神有最好的连接。
And then others of us here tonight connect with God from a more orderly perspective.
那也许另外的一些弟兄姐妹，他们和神的连接可能是从一个有序的层面来和神连接。
We tend to like things to have their proper place, and we're a bit more analytical in nature, and we like to know that God has placed situations or things in this universe for a defined purpose and a defined period of time.
我们喜爱一切的事情都有它一个合适的位置。像我们这样的弟兄姐妹，也许我们天性当中热衷于对事物做各样的分析。我们喜欢知道万事皆有神的安排，皆有神的时间。
And there's nothing wrong with connecting with God through the creativity of God or through His order and structure, but we can't diminish Him to just one of those two options.
我想我们不论是从创造力的方面和神连接，或者从一个讲究次序的方面跟神连接，任何一方都没有问题，但是我们不能厚此薄彼。
But just for fun, let's just, how many of you connect with God from more of the creative side?
其中我们大家有多少人是和在创造力方面跟神连接的？
Just go ahead and raise your hand. Go ahead.
大家如果是这样的话，可以能够举起你的手来。
Okay, three of you. All right. So I'm assuming that others of us connect with God from a more orderly side.
那我先猜想，可能其他的人的话，跟神的连接都是从神有次序的这个方面来连接的。
Go ahead and raise your hand.
能不能举起你的手来
okay, there's okay, six or seven or eight. Okay, now the rest of you, I'm worried about. All right.
所以没有举手的人，我现在很替你们担心的。
I'm just teasing. All right. So another example of how we diminish God is by approaching God through His sovereignty or by His love.
那我想另外一个我们可以来分享的就是神他是有主权的神，但是神也是一个充满了慈爱的神。
And so there are some theological debates over this issue that drives this trap of diminishing divinity.
那我们看到有一些神学的讨论，这样的讨论会让我们看到他们会慢慢的会减弱神的神性。
And what I mean by that is this, if we elevate God, if we elevate God to just an all-loving God,then we're going to have a difficult time with the issue of hell.
如果我们认为我们的神只是一个好像全部是充满了爱的神，那这样的话，我们可能就没有办法能够来理解为什么还会有地狱这样的一个概念。
I mean, how can an all-loving God ever let anyone spend eternity in hell?
如果我们知道神他仅仅只是一个好像完全充满了爱的神，只是这样的话，那我们怎么能够理解还会他会让人能够永远的在地狱当中？
But if we raise sovereignty to the highest level and we ignore love, then we get into the idea of predestination and God has fixed the whole world from the beginning to the end.
如果我们只看重神的主权而忽视了神的爱的话，那我们会陷入一种这样的观念，我们认为预定论的观念，认为一切都已经神有定论，我们再做什么都是无能为力的。
And because God has already done that, then there's really nothing we can do about anything. And so when we push these two views apart, we diminish who God is.
因为神如果已经计划好了一切的话，那我们不能再做什么都是没有任何的果效。所以如果我们走这样的极端的话，我们就会减弱了神的本性。
They have to go together. The sovereignty and the love of God have to coexist with one another.
所以我们知道这两个方面，不论是神的主权或者神的爱，这两个方面我们同时都要重视。
And so the third example here on this idea of how we diminish God's divinity is this. It's the just God versus the merciful God.
那第三个这样的例子就是关于好像是公义的神和一个怜悯的神的对比。
Many people who have been hurt in life, they lean heavily into God's justice.
我想那些在生活中受到过伤害的人，他们往往倾向于要追求神的公义。
And they might feel this, they might say this, but it's going to come out somewhere, and they might feel that the people that have hurt them deserve what they get. They had it coming to them.
所以他们看到那些伤害过他们的时候，他们的心中可能会觉得说，这些人他们应该是罪有应得。
But for the people who've lived a life that's been broken, they tend to lean towards God's mercy.
但是我们看到，如果有些人他的生活经历了各样的艰难，也经历了各样的破碎的话，他们可能会更倾向的追求一个怜悯的神。
And they would be more likely to feel and to say, God, I'm so grateful for your mercy on my life and for the things that you have brought me through.
他们也许更可能够体会到神啊，我真的是感恩你为你所给我在生命当中所提供给我的一切来感恩。
And again here, friends, when we put God in one box and not another box, we are diminishing his divinity.
所以同样的，这是一个例子告诉我们，如果我们限制神在一种情况之情形之下的话，那我们就减弱了神他的神性。
And when we look back at this passage, when Jesus is writing in the sand, it's not because he's stumped.
我们看到再回来看到这个故事，我们看到主耶稣他在用手指头在地上画字的时候，并不是说他好像感到很为难，不知道怎么回答。
The creator of all things, the one who has ordered the universe, the God who is all loving at the same time sovereign, the God who is full of both justice and mercy is writing in the sand.
好，我们看到这样一位创造了天地万物的神，这样一位制定了宇宙次序的神，这样一位充满了爱也充满了怜悯，但是同样也是有主权的神，他在那个时刻他在地上用手来画着字。
And there's always been a lot of debate about what he was writing, and maybe he was writing the names of the Pharisees, perhaps.
也许我们知道有很多的一些讨论不同的意见，关于主耶稣在当时在地上画字的时候，他说画的是什么样的字，也许是画的那些法利赛人的名字。
Maybe he was writing out all of their sins for everybody else to see.
也许他在那个时候在地上写出的罪，法利赛人他们自己的罪，好让世人能够看见。
Or maybe he's writing something else. And it's interesting to note here that three different times in Scripture, we see this phrase, the finger of God writing.
也许他在那个时候画的是别样的，写的是别样的东西。我们很可以来看看在圣经当中有三处有记载到神的手指头。
So the first time is found in Exodus chapter 31.
第一处是在出埃及记的第31章。
God gave Moses the two tablets that he himself inscribed with his own finger.
在出埃及记的31章，主耶和华他将两块法板交给了摩西，是他自己用手指头所写的石板。
The second time we see this phrase,the finger of God is in Daniel chapter 5, and Belshazzar throws a feast to celebrate his own godhood status.
那第二次在圣经当中提到神的指头，是记载在但以理书的第五章。在第五章当中记载的是伯沙撒王，他摆设宴席为了庆祝他自己有像神一样的地位。
And because of that feast that Belshazzar was throwing, we find in verses 24 through 28 where the finger of God wrote on the wall telling Belshazzar that God has numbered his days.
也就是因为波沙萨王他所摆设的这个筵席，他在宴席当中看到神的指头在墙上写字，神的指头在墙上写字，告诉他，神已经数算过他国的年日。
And God's finger continues to write, and he tells Belshazzar that his reign is as the king would come to an end, and he was not pleased.
Yeah, 所以神的指头显示写的字告诉波斯大王，他已经数算过你国的年日到此已经完毕。我们看到波斯大王非常的不开心。
And we find here in these couple of examples, in the first example where God gives us the law, it's the moral standard for which we are to live by.
在我们刚才提到的这几个例子当中，一开始我们看到第一个例子，主耶和华他给了我们律法，也是我们的一个道德的律。
And then in our second example where we find the finger of God writing, we find that God tells us that we've fallen short of that moral standard.
那在第二个例子当中，我们看到神的指头告诉我们，我们没有办法那个完全遵守神所赐给我们的道德的标准。
And so we see that the law was given by the finger of God. We know that the judgment was given by the finger of God.
所以我们看到律法是神的指头所赐，审判也是神的手指头所做。
And the third time we find the finger of God writing in Scripture is right here in this passage.
那第三次神的指头所写字就在我们刚才读的这段约翰福音的这段经文当中。
Maybe, we don't know, but maybe he's writing something that John says about him in John chapter 1, verse 17.
我们不是很确定，但是也许在当时主耶稣他所写的，就如约翰在约翰福音第一章十七节所说的那样。
For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth was given through Jesus Christ.
说到律法本是借着摩西传的，恩典和真理都是由耶稣基督来的。
And so friends, tonight, this idea, this understanding of the finger of God here in this moment of time was illustrating for us this perfect balance of who God is.
弟兄姐妹们，我们今天我们看到这些经文，可以看到我们主耶稣，看到神的时候，指头向我们显现的是神他的全备。
He's creative.
他是有创造力的。
He's orderly.
他也是讲究次序的。
He's sovereign.
他是有主权的,
He's love.
他也是爱,
He's just.
他是公义的,
He's merciful.
他也是怜悯的,
and He's full of grace and truth.
他是满有真理, 满有恩典。
And maybe in this moment, He wants for you and I tonight to understand that we are small and He is big.
在那个时刻, 他也是想我们能够明白。 我们是多么的渺小，而他是伟大的神。
And friends, we have to make sure that the God who we serve is bigger than our experience or feelings, and that we do not diminish His divinity.
弟兄姐妹们，我们一定要能够清楚地明白，我们的神比我们所有的经历，比我们所有的知识都要大，我们不能缩小他。
And so we jump back into our story, and we find the Pharisees, the religious leaders. They were trying to bring God down to their size, and that fit into their interpretation of the law.
我们回到我们刚才讲的法利赛人这个故事，我们看到法利赛人他们想要把神降低到他们自己的样子，要能够符合他们对律法的解释。
And if I can ask us a question again, just to give us a moment to reflect and to consider our own spiritual life, it would be this. Are there moments and experiences and situations in our lives when we tend to diminish who God is so that He can fit into our views, our needs, our wants, and our experiences?
让我问大家再问大家一个问题，在我们的生命当中，我们是不是有时候会把神降低？ 降低到我们自己所需要的层次。
Alright, so the first trap that we need to avoid is this trap of diminishing God's divinity. And the second trap that we need to avoid is this. We need to avoid the trap of self-righteousness.
那我们第二个我们说要避免的陷阱是我们要避免一个自以为意的陷阱。
And so it's an obvious part to what we see going on here in this passage.
我想这样的一个观点，我们从我们接下来的经文当中，我们可以很容易的可以看出来。
And this is a classic example of the trap of self-righteousness. And so from the standpoint of the stone throwers, This woman was a home wrecker, and she's perverted the morals of the young people.
我想这是一个非常典型的一个自以为意的一个陷阱的例子。我们看到从这些要扔石头的这法利赛人他们的观点来看，这个妇人她是一个破坏家庭的妇人，而且这个妇人她也使这些年轻人的道德败坏。
And Jesus in this situation probably doesn't seem much better off from their standpoint. I mean, they probably think that he's a compromiser and that he's one who hangs out with these type of people.
所以从这些法利赛人的观点来看，在那个时候，耶稣的情形也许并不比这个妇人好多少。他们认为耶稣是一个妥协者，他和像行淫的妇人这样的人在一起。
And because Jesus would hang out with these type of people, he must, after all, be encouraging them to continue to live in this lifestyle, and he sure doesn't appear to uphold the moral high standards of God.
在这些法利赛的眼中，耶稣和这些像行淫的妇人这样的罪人在一起，所以他们认为耶稣一定是支持这样他们这样的生活方式，他的道德标准肯定达不到神的标准。
And when they look at themselves, now put yourself in their place tonight. When they look at themselves, they see self-appointed guardians of the righteousness and the glory of God. They are the defenders.
所以这些法利赛人他们把自己看作是神公义和荣耀的捍卫者。
And friends, we want to be very careful about this trap of self-righteousness.
弟兄姐妹，我们要非常的小心，要非常的小心这个自以为意的陷阱。
So we notice in verse 7 that after they asked Jesus once, he bent down and he wrote in the sand.
我们看到在第七节，在第七节说，他们还是不住的问他，耶稣就直起腰来对他们说。
And they apparently weren't satisfied with what he was doing, and so the text tells us that they kept on questioning him.
我们看经文中提到。耶稣在地上画字，但是这些法利赛人继续的盘问他。
And it was at this moment that Jesus turned this whole situation about someone else's sin back on them and said, "Hey, listen, if any of you is without sin, let him be the first to start throwing stones at her."
也就在那个时刻，我们看到耶稣把整个这些法利赛人认为都是他人的罪的这样的一个情形给改变了过来。耶稣对他们说，你们中间谁是没有罪的，谁就可以先拿石头打他。
And his statement here had a profound impact on this group of self-righteous religious people.
我们看到耶稣的这段话对这些自以为义的这些法利赛人有一个深刻的影响。
Verse 9 tells us that after Jesus said this, they left one at a time until it was only Jesus and the woman who was left.
第九节我们看到这些法利赛人他们听见这话，就从老到少，一个个的都出去了，只剩下耶稣一人，还有那妇人仍然站在当中。
So here's an interesting note of also about this passage. It's kind of a side note for us.
这是一个非常有趣的一个这样的一个观察，对这个经文的一个有趣的观察。
It was part of the Jewish custom that when a person is found guilty, the accuser has the privilege of throwing the first stone.
因为根据犹太人的传统和律法，如果有人被发现有罪的话，那指控他的人有这样的权利，可以先用石头来打他。
And so Jesus was just simply following the code and the law, and he was telling his accusers to start throwing stones.
我看到耶稣在那个时候只是做的就是符合当时犹太人的律法，说你们谁没有罪的，可以先用石头打他。
But I wonder if the reason that they all turned and they left is because at this moment they remembered part of the Old Testament law that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 19 that speaks of their being a malicious witness.
我很好奇，我想在那个时候他们听了主耶稣的话就一个个的离开。他们之所以离开，是不是因为他们想起了在旧约生命记当中有这样的说道，如果做凶恶的见证人的话，自己要被致死。
So get this, if someone brings a charge that is malicious, then they were subjected to the very same punishment that would have been for that accused person.
因为根据犹太人的律法，如果做错误的见证，做凶恶的见证的话，那么见证人也会要受到被指控人所同样的惩罚。
Maybe that's why they just all left.
我想也就是因为这样的，也可能由于这样的原因，他们一个个都离开了。
Maybe this is what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 7 when he tells us this.
啊，也许就像主耶稣在马太福音第七章有这样提到所说的。
He says in verse 1, do not judge or you too will be judged, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you.
在马太福音第七章主耶稣说，你们不要论断人，免得你们被论断，因为你们怎样论断人，也必被怎样论断。你们用什么量器量给人，也必用什么量器量给你们。
So what Jesus was doing here in this passage was that he was highlighting their self-righteous attempt to force the law on this sinner while they themselves would be breaking the law if they were malicious with their accusation.
所以我想在这段经文当中，主耶稣他要做的就是要提醒那些想将律法加在罪人身上这些自以为义的人，他们在做凶恶的见证的时候，他们其实自己也就违反了律法。
And again, they turned away.
我们可以看到他们离开了一个个的。
Now some of us would take a look at this passage and the situation and say that the laws of government should take care of the moral issues and the evildoers.
我想我们在读这段经文的时候，我们有些弟兄姐妹们可能会想说，我想政府的法律可能要用来管理这些道德的问题和这些犯罪之人。
And this is clear teaching in the Bible, but it's also clear teaching that as believers, we are called to enter into people's lives to help them in their struggle with sin for the purpose of trying to restore them.
我想没错，这的确是圣经的教导，但是圣经也同样的告诉我们基督徒，我们弟兄姐妹，我们要帮助那些生活在最终挣扎的人，要能把他们重新的拯救过来。
And this is where the potential conflict of addressing someone else's sin has to be dealt with very carefully.
这就是告诉我们说，当我们在对付别人的罪的时候，我们要非常的小心。
We can't go into that situation filled with a judgmental attitude.
我们去对付这样的别人的罪的时候，我们不能有一个论断人的态度。
Although we need to understand, I mean, when people are confronted with their sin, this is often a feeling that they have that they are being judged.
的确，我们不能论断人，但是我们也知道，当有人被指出他的罪的时候，他们可能心中总是会觉得自己被论断了。
And so we can't be judgmental, but we also can't be condemning in our efforts to restore people.
我们的确不能有一个论断的心，但是同样我们也不能指责我们自己，好像我们要去愿意帮助他人。
But in those moments when we're entering into someone else's lives to confront them about their sin, Jesus came to share grace and truth, and we too have to share grace and truth with people.
当我们要去对付他人的罪的时候，帮助他人的时候，我们就要像主耶稣所做的那样，我们要和他人去分享主耶稣的恩典，分享主耶稣的真理。
And so Galatians 1:6-1 tells us that when someone is caught in sin, that those who are spiritual should restore him gently.
在加拉太书的第六章这样说道，弟兄们，若有人偶然被过犯所胜，你们属灵的人就当用温柔的心把他挽回过来。
And it goes on here to tell us, but be careful that we aren't tempted in the process of doing that.
但又继续说到，又当自己小心，恐怕也被引诱。
It doesn't tell us here that we should stone people. We have this God-given responsibility to help people deal with their sin issues and to lead them away from that sinful lifestyle, whatever it might be.
他没有这段经文没有要我们去用石头去打这些犯罪的人。相反的，这段经文告诉我们，神给了我们一个这样的职责，让我们去帮助他人对付他们的罪，好让他们能够远离那些罪恶的生活。
All right, then the third and final trap for us to make sure that we avoid is the trap of sin.
那最后的一个陷阱我们要讨论的就是罪的陷阱。
And so in this story, the woman is caught, she's busted, and she has no defense for her situation.
我们知道在这个故事当中，这个行淫的妇人在行淫之时被抓，她没有任何无可辩解。
And we need to know this tonight, friends, that sin...will always present itself as something that is going to be fun in the moment, but once you've stepped over the line of temptation and into sin, it only becomes a trap.
弟兄姐妹，我们知道罪一开始在我们看来可能都是一个美好的，但是当我们越过了诱惑的这个界限的时候，我们就发现罪不过是一个陷阱。
James chapter 1 verse 15 tells us that sin, when it's full grown, will lead to death.
在雅各书的第一章十五节告诉我们，如果罪既长成，就会生出死来。
And Jesus doesn't want any of us to die.
我们知道主耶稣他不愿意我们有任何人沉沦死亡。
And here in this story in verse 10, we find Jesus saying, "Woman, where are your accusers? Has no one stayed to condemn you?"
啊，在第这个故事我们的第十节这样说到，主耶稣自己要来问他说，那些人到哪里去了？没有人定你的罪吗？
There are two thoughts here about sin, and then we'll close.
啊，我在关于罪，我们有两点要分享的，然后我们就结束我们今天的正道。
Just because there are no accusers doesn't mean that the woman's not guilty.
啊，我想不会说因为没有人没有指控者，这个妇人就没有罪。
I've heard some teens from time to time, trying to justify some of their behavior, and they made a statement that, or they typically make a statement that fits perfectly here.
啊，我很多时候听到有一些年轻人，他们为了证明他们所做的是对的，就有这样的说法。
And they've said to me something like this, Pastor Rob, it's only breaking the law if you get caught.
他有时候会对我说啊 ，Pastor， 我们这个如果是犯罪，只有被抓了，我们才是犯罪。
And no, it's not.
但是我很清楚的要告诉大家，其实这是不对的。
Breaking the laws of the land and the spiritual laws still renders us guilty, even if we don't have accusers, and even if we don't get caught.
我想我们如果犯了罪，不论是属地的罪还是我们属灵的罪。当我们犯罪的时候，我们就是有罪的，不论我们被抓还是没有被抓。
And the urgency of Jesus' statement is a powerful statement that should remind us that there is no justification for sin except for what Christ has done for us.
所以我们看到主耶稣他说的话，告诉我们，罪是没有任何的理由，没有任何的道理可以赦免，除了主耶稣他说我们所做的那个赦免我们的罪。
Here's a second ending thought about this story.
那第二个我们要分享的是。
Jesus is giving her the opportunity to be forgiven and freed from this life of sin.
主耶稣给这个行淫的妇人第二次的机会，给她有机会能够不再犯罪。
And so we find that he says in verse 11, "Listen, I did not come to condemn you, but go now and leave your life of sin."
在十一节，主耶稣说：“我也不定你的罪，去吧，从此不要再犯罪了。”
Let me ask you a closing question tonight. What is it that you need to be freed from?
在我们结束之前，我问大家几个问题：我们有什么需要能够从中摆脱出来的吗
？Jesus doesn't condemn us.
耶稣他不定我们的罪。
But he loves us enough to speak truth into our lives.
但是他是如此的爱我们，他要对我们说真理的话。
And he's giving us an opportunity to turn away from living a life of whatever sin issue we're dealing with.
他给我们有这样的机会，能够让我们过一个不再犯罪的生活，不论你的罪是什么样方面的罪。
Maybe it's one of those private sins that no one can really see.
啊，也许是你的罪是一个你个人隐私的罪，是没有人能够知道的罪。
Maybe it's a heart issue or an attitude.
啊，也许是你的心态方面的罪，或者是你的态度方面的罪。
Maybe it's more of a public sin where everybody knows what your sin is.
啊，也许你的罪是一个我们所有的人都能看到的、看得见的罪。
Maybe our sin today is stone throwing.
啊，也许我们的罪，我们可能是自以为意要扔石头的这样的罪。
Judging other people and condemning them.
也许是要去啊，我们要来有一个论断人的心的这样的罪。
And not loving them with grace and truth.
而不是爱他们，不是用真理和诚实去爱他们的罪。
Here's some great news for us tonight.
但是我们今天晚上我们有一个好的消息给大家。
No matter what type of sin you and I are dealing with, Christ wants to set us free. From those things.
不论我们有受到什么样的罪的捆绑，基督耶稣会要愿意让我们能够得释放。
And this passage is a passage that can radically transform our lives if we hear what it's saying to us. And my prayer is that each of us would receive it and apply it to our lives as God desires.
我们想，我们今天所分享的这段经文是一段可以让我们人生能够有转变的这样的经文。我希望我们听到了主耶稣的给我们的教训的时候，我们愿意把这样的教训能够行在我们的生活当中。
Let's pray.
让我们一起低头祷告。
God, I pray for the power of your word to descend upon our lives tonight.
主，我们真是求你的话语，你的话语的能力能够降临到我们的生命当中。
Lord, I pray that we've heard from heaven tonight.
主，我们愿意我们所听的是从天上所来的话语。
And I pray that we can put these things into practice.
我们也祈祷，我们可以把我们所听的这些道理能够放行在我们的生命当中。
And I pray, God, that when we leave this place and we go throughout our week, Lord, that we would just continue to take steps to draw closer to you.
主耶稣，我们真的是祈祷，当我们离开这个地方的时候，在新的一个星期里面，我们可以更加的来靠近你。
Move in our lives, Lord God, we pray.
主，求你来感动我们的生命，感动我们的心。奉主的名祷告，阿门。